I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A lot of the things that Curry can do and more, and he's a seven-footer.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. One of the reasons I think nationally Curry has less of a reputation than Durant, or people say Durant is better than Steph Curry, is there is a perception that Curry is more of a shooter than a player. And I think that's where people who don't see him enough make a mistake. He's far more than a shooter. Because the reason why he has elevated to more than just a shooter, he uses his incredible range to be the foundation of his entire game. So he's the greatest three-point shooter, maybe greatest shooter of all time. But it doesn't end there for Curry. He's used that greatness in that one area of his game to basically fuel the rest of his offensive game. It fuels his get-to-the-basket game. It fuels his drive-and-kick game. It fuels his having to move off the ball as well as he does. And that's kind of the one thing that I think maybe people don't take into account is he's not just a great three-point shooter. He's a phenomenal offensive player that builds it all off that three-point shot.
And I'll take it a step farther. He's one of the greatest point guards ever to play the game.
Sure.
And look, I know there was the question going back when he came into the league as to what is he? Is he a point guard? Is he a two guard? He was the quintessential tweener at that point in time. And I remember just thinking, and I've said this in the past, when the Warriors drafted him, I remember thinking if he's going to be successful, he's going to have to be a point guard, and he's going to have the ball in his hands and run it more like a traditional point guard. Now, he's reinvented the point guard position, I think, a little bit in terms of, creativity and shooting and all of it, and tempo and ball handling, all of those things. But to me, what makes him an all-time great is the fact that he's not a tweener. Yes, he has great shooting skills and off the ball skills and all of that, but he became a great point guard that's also one of the great shooters, if not the greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we agree or we disagree there, or we're talking semantics, because you said, you thought he needed to be a point guard to succeed. So, and I'm not, this isn't about, well, is he a point guard or not? Okay, he's a point guard, but to me, he's really a one and a half, and that's allowed him to be a greater player than just a one, if you know what I mean. Because he is a one, but a quote unquote true one, they don't move off the ball like Steph Curry. So his ability to usher in shooting guard characteristics to his point guard game, I think, has made him a greater player rather than less of a player. And I was thinking about this the other day because I got into somebody on Twitter. Not got into it. In fact, I kind of agreed with him. Steph Curry and Draymond Green are tweeners. Those used to be guys to be wary of, to be scared of. And those two players, in a lot of ways, have changed that. Draymond Green, he came out, well, he's too small to guard bigs, and he's not quick enough to guard smalls. Well, guess what? He can guard both any way he wants to. Steph Curry, well, he's not a two guard. He's a tweener. Yeah, well, guess what? He can go get you 25 from the two, like playing like a two guard if he has to. He'd have to bring the ball up like Steve Nash and run pick and roll after pick and roll. And not that Steve Nash couldn't work off the ball. He could. But back in the day, being a tweener would have probably kept Curry in more of a box. And nowadays, it gives him more, I think, freedom to be great.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't disagree with you on that.
But he's a point guard now.
He's the point guard.
Right.
Like, and to me, he had to be the point guard if he was going to be successful. Like, you were gonna have it. Like, we joke about this all the time. Like with the Warriors, right? And we were just talking about it. Positionless basketball, and Curry can do, you know, he has shooting guard skills, and Draymond can guard bigs, and he can guard guards, and he can guard fours. He can guard anybody, right? But the reality is, you know, the Warriors have a true point guard, and they have a two guard. Like, Klay Thompson is a two guard. Like, and that's kind of what I, you know, Durant is one of the greatest small forwards of all time. Sure, he can play power forward too if teams go small. Draymond Green in today's day and age is a quintessential, you know, power forward. You know, so it's like you have there are specific positions for these guys as much as once you get them out on the court, it you can say it's positionless, and you can say that you're going small, and you can say that you're going to play Draymond at center and throw Iguodala in there. You can say all of those things, and it's all accurate, but the reality is the Warriors have some positional integrity, more positional integrity than I think, you know, maybe they get credit for as far as when you start comparing them to, you know, teams in different eras and the like.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, let's go to George. George wants to talk about KD being the best. Hey, George.
Gentlemen, you've opened up so many questions. KD is undoubtedly the best individual basketball player on the planet.
Okay, why is he better than Curry?
Well, he's better than Curry because he's a foot taller.
Okay.
He's better than Curry because he can protect the rim. But what Curry has is Curry elevates the game of everyone around him. Puts him in the stratosphere with Jordan, Magic, Bird. He makes everybody better. He makes Durant better. That's the problem they have coexisting on the same team is Durant gets better, he takes over, and he's just doing everything he can do. Everybody else slows down. When Durant's not in there, Curry's making everyone better, and it shows.
Well, let me ask you this. So you think KD... What if I give you these two? Who's better, Kevin Durant on the Warriors or Steph Curry without Kevin Durant on the Warriors? You know what I mean? Like you've said, when KD's not there, Curry's different, even though he's not better, you're saying. He's different, but he's still not better.
I love KD on the Warriors because he brings another level to the game that if we need to go to, we can go to. But all in all, overall, I believe the Warriors are better with just Steph Curry and not Kevin Durant. But I love having Kevin on the Warriors.
And you think he's the best player in the game?
I think today he is the best player in the game. LeBron has hit a point. LeBron has had an injury, and he's showing his age. You know, one thing I do want to throw at you is, what do you think of the legacy of Kevin Durant if he leaves the Warriors and never wins another championship?
It's a good question. Good question. But let me just get like back to the one thing George said that
sure,
on its surface is absolutely crazy, but yet we have seen this, and it's that Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, but somehow the Warriors are better without him, or people are able to play better without him on the court. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Well, it's just different. It's
hard to get your head around.
Ways you have to play.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know that we'll ever solve this problem. Other than, are there people out there that really think the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant? I certainly do not think they're better. They would not be better in my mind over the long term. Now, might they be able to sneak out their third title this year if Durant doesn't come back? They might.
Maybe.
The problem with that's going to be then everyone's going to say, you know, they won it without Durant. No, they didn't. They won two series without Durant.
And look, and I've said this, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it very strongly. If Kevin Durant had missed the entire Rocket series, we'd be watching Portland and the Rockets right now playing in the conference finals. If Kevin Durant had missed that whole series, that the Warriors season would have ended 6 days ago or 8 days ago.
I think some people may disagree with you there.
Well, that's fine. They can bring it. But
because they would go to point, they would always return to the Houston non-clutch gene. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll see.
No,
we won't see, actually.
Right. And that's the thing. It's an argument, JD, that, you know what, you're never going to be able to win. But you won't lose it either, which is nice.
True.
So, but
true.
Yeah, no,
and sometimes the best you can do is just not lose. Well, look, but here's the, right?
Wait, what does your dad say? Just avoid a catastrophe?
Yeah, just, well.
Something like that?
Yeah, you know what? He's got a few of them. He's got.
All right. Yeah,
Just try to
avoid calamities. That's a good life lesson. Hey, let's go to Cole in San Francisco. What's up, Cole? How you doing?
Hey guys, hope you can hear me well.
Yes,
great
sir.
Show so far. Love to listen to you guys in the morning as I drive around the city.
Thank you.
I've been listening to you guys for about an hour or about 2 hours now, and I've heard you say a lot of different topics on Curry and Durant, but I wanted to just give my 2 cents. So I think all the talk about the Warriors this year is, are they going to have that switch again? Are they going to have that switch again? And I always thought that was a silly question because I don't see the switch necessarily as a mindset or a mode. I see Kevin Durant as the switch. And I see Kevin Durant as the switch, almost like a battery. They have a reserve. And when they can flip on the switch, when they go to him down the stretch, they reserve that. Just the energy, all the energy that's output all season long, they kind of have some in the reserve. And when Kevin Durant's not out, that switch is short-circuited, for lack of a better term. They got to go. They're on 100% all time, and they're draining charge. And so I think that's the luxury of having Durant, is that not only can he get you those huge buckets against those teams that are going to trap and double-team, but he's also going to be almost a recharge, a second battery for your iPhone that you can go to and make sure that, later in the night, per se, later in the season, in the playoffs, that you'll still have that energy. And I think that's what's showing right now.
Thanks, Cole. Appreciate the phone call. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The phone lines are full. We're going to be joined by Tim Roy coming up at 12:30. He is in Portland, and we'll have the call of the Warriors and Blazers Game 3 of the conference finals tonight. More of your phone calls coming up as well, as we are with you until 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson in Portland, Matt Steinmetz in San Francisco. Been a great show here with you since 9 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. And this is how we roll on a Saturday, Steiny. We've done it all year long. And actually, this is, believe it or not, the final Saturday game that the Warriors can play on the schedule. Everything else, if there's a Game 7 of the conference finals or a Game 6, it'd be Friday, Sunday, and then there are no Saturday games in the NBA finals. So this will be the last one of these days, but it's been a lot of fun with all the 5:30 starts and nationally televised games going back, I think, all the way to even the preseason. We've had a good time on these. I call them 16-hour Saturdays, from the time you get up in the morning until maybe the time you get home and get a chance to relax in the evening. But it's been a blast, man.
And it's broken up kind of nicely. We're going to be done here in about 40 minutes, and then I'll have a 3.5-hour break. What's the weather like up there, JD? It's wet here.
Drizzly. Yeah, it's wet. It's you know what?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get my walk in. I don't have my Gore-Tex with me.
See, and I'm going to give you, obviously, Portland, and Portland's known for rain, but it's more of a lighter just drizzle than a steady rain. Like, I got to think, Like, I'm going to go for a little walk, right? Before I get ready to head over to the arena, I'm going to go probably get a coffee and just take a little walk because I like to do that in different cities. I like doing it in San Francisco a lot as well. But I feel like the rain in the Bay is probably – it's going to hinder you from getting that done, whereas I'm looking out the window here at the hotel and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to be able to get it in because it's just a light drizzle. I'll throw on a light jacket and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on. I think you're right. It's more wet than downpour when you think of Portland and even Seattle. But there's another aspect to it, and it's the people who live in Seattle and Portland, they're equipped for wetness. They've got the right stuff. They've got the right clothing. They've got – it's almost embedded or innate to them that they've got to function in wetness, where it's not really for us in San Francisco, and so we're thrown off by it more too, I think.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. 888-957-9570. We'll get to some more phone calls. But I'll just one final thought on that. It was a little bit annoying having to pack for a 4-day trip and think about, you know what, I got to bring something that I can wear if it's raining. Like I had already ruled that out.
Right.
You know, like I like you go to and it kind of happened in Houston too, because they had all these the thunderstorms and downpours and the awful flooding and the like. And I'm thinking, gosh, it's going to be 80, 85. And I'm going to take shorts and, you know, two pairs of jeans. And that's, you know, you pack real light, get it in. And then the weather all of a sudden I'm taking jackets and I'm taking hoodies. And I'm thinking, what is it? Is it December? What do we got? What's going on here? Anyway, I digress.
All right,
I digress. Pick a call. We got a full board.
Yeah, we do. And they're probably sick of the meteorology talk. Let's go to Richard in El Sobrante. Hey, Richard.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing well.
It's a pleasure talking with you guys. I really enjoy listening to you on Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Hey, so I just want to chime in on the whole all the Warriors better without KD. And I just have a couple things to say about that. First of all, you'll see teams lose their best player or one of their best players, and they still continue to win games. I mean, that happened, right? It happened with Indiana this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say it happened with Portland, right, losing Nurkic. I mean, here they are. They're in the finals of the conference. So the Warriors are a good team. I mean, of course they're going to be able to survive without KD. They won 71 games without KD. They're a good team. But other good teams have also done well for a while until – you know, they got to a certain point, and then they realized they really needed that player, and Indiana could only get so far, Portland could only get so far, I believe, against the Warriors, and, you know, it could very well be that if we go against Milwaukee or even Toronto, the same thing could happen. The other thing is I just think we're suffering from some recency bias. I mean, yeah, things look great right now. They've won the last three games. They've looked wonderful, but we've also seen games where they've struggled, and we haven't seen that yet. We may see that tonight, who yeah. knows, but you know, when things are going great, yeah, everything, you know, oh, yeah, they're better without KD until they're not, right?
Right, right. And thanks for the call, Richard. And I'm kind of with you there. We've yet to see, you know, to me, and you and I have talked about this a lot, JD, is, you know, how many times over the course of a game, how many times over the course of a season does Kevin Durant make shots when the Warriors aren't really running their offense, they have nothing going, they don't deserve to score, but they do because of their greatness. And the Warriors score more because of their greatness than any other team. So, you know, that to me is a big part of it. We haven't seen a dry spell where the Warriors would go to Durant. We haven't seen the dry spell where they don't have Durant to go to yet or still, and can they get themselves out of it? Because 4 games is, whether you like it or not, a small sample size.
It is. And the longer this thing goes, the more it's going to be proven that they need Kevin Durant to get this thing done. And I think we already would have been in a position where it would have been, uh-oh, if this series was 1-1. And again, credit to the Warriors for winning that game. And they earned it. And they're up 2-0. And now they don't necessarily have to worry about it unless they lose both games in Portland this weekend. But I'm of the belief that the longer, the more they're going to need Durant, especially especially in a final series when you're talking about going up against Giannis, going up against Kawhi Leonard, whoever makes it out of the Eastern Conference. Hollywood in San Jose is on 95.7 The Game, Warriors this week. Hey, Hollywood.
Hi, guys. I had a quick question. You know, watching the Warriors play with Durant and without Durant, it's completely different. My question is Kevin Durant capable of playing in the system the Warriors are playing in right now? Because it is different.
I think he has. I think he has, for the most part, played within this system. I think when he doesn't play within the system, it's because they're telling him, hey, KD, play outside the system now because we need you just to score because the way we're playing is not work. See, it's like most teams can just play one way and the chips got to fall where they may. The Warriors can be playing a certain way and say, you know what, let's just go to Durant. Let's just go to Durant. He can bail us out. And that's the issue, I think, is when do you do that? When do you not do it? When does Durant realize it's happening? And so he tries to do, you know, he knows what's going on. It's very, you know, it's delicate. It's hard to figure out what's perfect. Want to go to Tomas in San Leandro?
Yeah, Tomas, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Guys.
How are you, man?
Enjoying your show. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just thinking about how it's kind of hard to compare a forward to a guard, you know, and
no doubt,
and you know, like people when people were talking about Kobe and Shaq, facing out here, yeah,
Kobe and Shaq.
I mean, that you're not really saying, you know, who was the better player. You know, you're not comparing them in that way, like best of all time kind of thing. And so, I just think while it's an interesting conversation, I think another thing about it is that. I think that Steph really has transcended his position in the sense that he's changed the game in a big way. And I don't think there's other forwards that can play the way KD does because of the way his body is built. He's kind of a freak of nature in a way that his height and his, you know, his athleticism and his ability to play multiple positions. So, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people get lost in that who's the best player of all time. And I think I liked when you started comparing, the best guards of all time.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I know exactly what you're saying, Tomas. I mean, and it is hard to compare different positions. We're going to do it anyway, kind of because you want to try to measure a value of a player. But no, it's true. I mean, like, okay, what are let's say the three biggest stats in basketball are scoring, rebounding, and assists. Well, then you know what? Kevin Durant is better than Steph Curry because he rebounds better and probably scores a little bit better. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's definitely the better player. Those are only three aspects of the game. And those are like the most tangible, but there's so much that can go on a basketball court where a player can impact the game, but he doesn't even necessarily have to touch the ball. And Durant and Curry can both do that in different kind of ways.
Let's go to Nick. Nick is next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Nick, you're on Warriors this week with JD and Steiny.
Guys, how's it going?
Going well, man.
Alrighty, I just wanted to give some props to Kevon Looney, unsung hero, always in the right place at the right time, rarely makes a mistake. He's just, I think he's phenomenal as a bench or a backup or whatever he is. I just really think he's helped the Warriors immensely. Doesn't get the credit he should get, or he deserves it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's been an integral part of two very important wins for the Golden State Warriors. And the question with Kevon Looney always is, would he be this valuable to another team, or would he be a little bit more exposed?
Well, I'm going to give you my stock answer on Kevon Looney, which is, if I'm another team even if I don't think, like, even if I don't think that he can be as good for me as he is for the Warriors, if I am any one of 10 or 15 teams in the league that have some cap space, I'm just trying to take him away just to take something away from the Warriors. It's almost one team has to be that team to do it for the other team.
To take a bullet for the league.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
But I don't understand why that – I just don't understand why somebody hasn't tried to do that.
I don't know why he didn't – I don't know why he wasn't offered more money last offseason. Like, I was so surprised that nobody – well, maybe teams did have interest, but he just wanted to stay. I mean, I guess that's a possibility too. But I agree. Kevon Looney has been – again, when you look back at the Golden State Warriors and you look at all their talent, it's not just the talent that makes them great. It's how this puzzle fits together. It's how Curry's approach is different than Draymond, who's the heart and soul, and he's emotional. But even Kevon Looney fits in as a low-maintenance player who can come in and help you, and you don't have to worry about him.
We had our guy Brandon Sprague from 1080 The Fan in Portland on earlier, and I've been doing these podcasts, radio.com podcasts for Intercom, the Behind Enemy Lines podcast, throughout the week leading up to and coming off of each of the games in the series. And he said he thought Kevon Looney's been the best big in the series. Now, maybe he's not considering Draymond Green a big. I think Draymond Green's been terrific as well. But Looney's been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, he has. We got Tim Roy, JD.
Let's bring in Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors this week, JD and Steiny. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
Doing very well. We were talking about how difficult it is to compare Curry and Durant because, you know, it's sort of nationally, there's just the belief, it's just a foregone conclusion. Durant is the better player, and I'm going to put you in a tough spot here, Tim. But locally, there's a open conversation about, well, wait a minute, is Curry the better player? And I know they're positionally different, and Curry's got a couple of MVPs, and Curry won one ring without Durant, and all of that. How do you cobble all of that together? And is it even a fair question in your mind to compare two historical greats and say one guy is better than the other?
I think it's a great talk show comparison, but I do think it's almost impossible to come up with a correct answer. But you know, let's face it, early in this playoffs, Kevin Durant was the best player on earth. There's no question about that. But you know, now Curry has to put a lot more on his shoulders, and he's responding the way you would think a superstar would respond. So, you know, they're both great in their own, you know, in their own styles and their own ways they go about their business and how they get their points. I mean, it's like voting for an MVP. You know, James Harden, say this year, he's one of the guys that's the finalist. And by the way, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo is another. You know, if you put Giannis on Houston, he's probably not as good. But in Milwaukee, with that group and that coach, he's awesome. And same with James Harden. You know, if he's playing for another team, another coach, maybe he's, you know, just a great scorer that we look at and not an MVP type player because he has the ball in his hands all the time. You know, I think it's a real tough situation to try to make that judgment. And I just think that right now, you know, the Warriors have adapted without Kevin Durant in this sense. I think their focus is a lot higher than it was earlier in the playoffs, and I think that it, you know, Steph Curry realizes now he has to give more. You know, and I think it's also, in a way, I think it's a great statement for the type of superstar Steph Curry is, because, you know, it's pretty obvious that if he wanted to, he'd go out and do this a lot, you know. But on the other hand, he understands team basketball, and he understands, you know, winning basketball. And to me, it just shows that in his heart of hearts, you know, numbers aren't important. Winning is important. And so when he has Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins, he's going to, you know, make sure that he makes plays that help the Warriors win games, even if it means giving up shots.
Tim, I like to think about it as having an impact on the game. And the one thing I said yesterday is if you just talk about the offensive part of the game, forget defense. I actually think, okay, so who's better, Michael Jordan or Steph Curry? All right, well, let's say Michael Jordan's better. You think Jordan's the greatest of all time. I still think that Steph Curry's impact at the offensive end has been greater than Jordan's impact at the offensive end, if for no other reason than how Curry's exploited the three-point line and just made that such a huge part of what the Warriors do.
Yeah, you know, I could see that. You know, the impact that he has is it's been league-wide. You know, I think that's why I always like shake my head when I realize that some of these guys, you know, a couple of years ago, he's a system player.
Right.
It's just, I mean, he's revolutionized the game. And to me, that's what you look at with superstars, is that how do they change the game? How do they have that, as you say, impact on the game? You know, Wilt Chamberlain, well, they changed rules because of Wilt. You know, you look at Michael Jordan. Well, you know, he was the first guy to dominate a league from the guard spot. That says something. Steph Curry, well, what's everybody doing now? Everybody's looking for 3-point shots, and they're looking to try to add to, they're looking for guys that can ball handle and score. I mean, if you want to look at where Steph Curry has impacted the game, look to Atlanta. Look to Trae Young. Trae Young might be the first, you know, true disciple of Steph Curry, because he's basically, you know, trying to mold his game the way Steph plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you see, okay, he's had this tremendous impact on the game, because this guy, Trae Young, said, you know what, I don't care if I'm not the biggest, strongest guy out there. I'm going to be a ball handler and a shooter, and I'm a passer, and I'm going to try to cut your heart out that way, the way Steph Curry does. And if you want, again, that's, to me, that's the evidence another piece of the evidence of the impact he's had in the game.
Tim, what do you expect tonight as far as atmosphere, the first home conference finals game for the Blazers since 2000? I know you've been coming to Portland for years, calling games. This has the potential, I think, to be a special night and maybe one of the more raucous environments. I mean, the Warriors have seen it all, and obviously Oracle is great. But this could be one of the more raucous environments the Warriors have faced during this championship run tonight.
Yeah, you know, and I think the fact that they've been up here a couple of times during this run will help. It's going to be loud. It's going to be noisy. It's a great fan base up here. It's a great NBA town. They know the game. They love the game. And I think there'll be that kind of noise of desperation, if you will, because I think everybody from the fan in the seat at the top of the building to Damian Lillard and Terry Stotts knows, you know, if they go down 3-0, this series is over. And even right now, they're in a desperate spot, because they'd have to beat the Warriors, even with Durant out, even with DeMarcus Cousins, you'd have to beat the two-time defending champs 4 or 5. That's a tall order. You know, it was too tall of an order for the Houston Rockets. And so I think there will be that kind of sense of desperation tonight, and I think it'll be reflected in the atmosphere. I always love coming up here to do games.
Tim, I want to ask you about Draymond Green. And, you know, I never saw Bill Russell play. The best defensive player I've ever seen was Scottie Pippen. Jordan, I think, at times was about as good as it got. Rodman was a great defensive player, but he was a little bit different. Is it crazy to say that Draymond Green belongs up there with the greatest defensive players of all time?
Yeah, I think so. Rodman was a great defender early in his career. And I think at the end of his career, he was more about, you know, rebounding numbers and doing what he did, you know, off the field. I think he kind of lost his way there for a while. And his defense was not nearly as good, in my opinion, as it was early in his career. Especially with Detroit, but I think Draymond Green. You look at him, and again, another guy that You know, he's not going to get Defensive Player of the Year this year. Okay, the Warriors' defense was just not that good during the regular season. It just didn't. They never got it going, and so I just think you look at his intelligence. You know, he may be one of the best, if not the best, help defenders of all time. He understands what the other team's trying to do, and he translates that to his teammates. And so he makes everybody around him better defensively, and because he knows, you know, exactly what their strategy is going to be and what they need to do. You know, at halftime of game two, they go in the locker room, KD and Steve Kerr, and you know, Kerr asks, "Hey, what do we want to do about blitzing the guards?" And you know, KD and Draymond say, "Hey, we got to blitz them harder. We got to do this harder. Do it better." And when they come out and bang, they do it better. He's remarkable. I think he's a defensive savant, and then you put him alongside Andre Iguodala, you know, and you have an elite defensive unit. You go back to 2015. You know, you had Bogut, Iguodala, and Draymond Green all on the floor at the same time with Klay Thompson, and you know, Steph Curry, who does some things defensively that can bother other teams, and he's gotten better as the years have gone along. But back in 2014-2015, that was an elite defensive team. It wasn't a good team. That was an elite defensive team.
Tim, how scary are the Bucks right now? And I know I'm not saying that series is even over in the Eastern Conference, but I know you're keeping tabs on both series and what may happen should the Warriors advance. But how scary are they? And have you been on them all year as being this good, or are you maybe more akin to where I was coming from on it, where I thought they were good, but then as time has gone on, I'm like, damn, they're better than I thought.
Yeah, they kind of snuck up on me a little bit too, JD. I thought they were really good, but I didn't think they were that good till about three quarters of the way through the season. And I really paid attention watching a game with them one night. And I can't remember who it was, Orlando or Charlotte or somebody, and they just suffocated them defensively. And it was, you know, it was really an eye-opener for me. And then, you know, they made some additions, and when they were able to, you know, fight through a couple of injuries and not miss a step, that also showed me something too. You know, Brogdon was out a good chunk of the season, and they didn't miss a beat with him gone. So they've got it going. That's a real tough thing. Toronto now has to go find, you know, some answer to that team, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do it.
And now they're in that same position the Blazers are in, where they, you know, maybe should have got the first game in Toronto's case, and they'd be in a different spot. And the Blazers, obviously, with the Warriors winning game two, this series could look a whole heck of a lot different if the Warriors hadn't been able to rally as they did in the second half. Tim, great stuff, man. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you over at Moda Center in a couple hours.
Yeah, you know what was the only thing scarier I've seen in my career?
What's that?
Chris Porter, Ruben Garcia's pick and roll.
Chris Porter? Oh, my God.
I love it.
What a pull.
I know.
Wasn't he on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Huh?
I think he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Chris Porter was?
Yeah, in college. I think didn't his team go to the Final Four, and he was like an unbelievable high flyer? I'll double check.
Yeah, he could jump out of the gym, that's for sure. I was just being silly. Don't mind me. Just being
all right.
Silly.
Let me see.
Thanks, Tim.
JD will have an answer when he sees you at the Moda Center.
I think you might be right about that, Steiny. I'm not 100% sure, but I think you might be right. He went to Auburn, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Okay. I don't think Auburn made the Final Four, though.
I'm looking at the cover, baby. November 15th, 1999.
Okay, but it wasn't a Final Four.
No, it was. It looks like it was some kind of preview. Top 25. Auburn is number one, and Chris Porter is the reason why. It shows him. It's a staged photo. He's dunking with a big smile on his face. It's not game action, or maybe it is game action. It was superimposed, but there you go, Chris Porter. Number 55, I believe. Is he 55? Anyway. You want to take
a couple
more to wrap it up?
Yeah, we got. Let's go to Steve. Steve on Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You?
Doing well.
Great.
Hey, I want to know what you guys feel about Iguodala. I want to know if you think that he's going to stick around if we win the championship this year.
Well, he'll be here next year. He's under contract. I do. That's kind of – and, Steve, you know what's funny is a lot of people are like, you know, if Iguodala wins it, I'll be three in a row. You think he'll just what? He's not going to walk away from $16, $17 million. I mean, he's proven that the Warriors only really need him for 50% of the season. I mean, I'll bet you Andre Iguodala could tell the Warriors, tell you what, I'll show up January 1st next year. And how would that work? And the Warriors might be like, you know what, that's fine. I mean, Iguodala, why would he leave this situation? And I actually think that the last couple of years have been so good for Iguodala in terms of what he's been able to provide in the postseason. He's going to get another contract. I don't know if it's going to be from the Warriors, but if he wants to play after next year and this year kind of goes, or next year kind of goes like the last 2 years, he'll get another contract. Definitely.
Yeah, if he wants one, for sure. I think he'll have a decision to make there, but I don't think, personally, there's any way. I don't think there's any way he's not playing next year for that $16 million.
I'd be shocked.
I really don't.
I would be shocked.
I really don't. Manuel in Dublin is up next here, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Manuel.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's sorry to hear it's the last Saturday show before a game, man. I enjoy the show each week, man. I'm at work or wherever I'm at. I got you guys on. I kind of had a hangover from the Houston series. I was so hyped and emotional. I mean, just those games and KD getting hurt, you know, started after game five, then going into game six. These first couple games until the fourth quarter of the other night, I really haven't really felt it. But tonight I'm super hyped. I think we're going to get a split, but if we get it tonight, then we're going to sweep. And I think the only way we'll ever settle is KD, Curry, who's better, which I don't want. I want them to keep retire as Warriors, would be if they ever meet in the finals, which is possible if somehow KD goes to the East and we get it again. That would be the most incredible story ever in NBA history, and we could settle the debate forever.
Well, thanks a lot for the call, Manuel. And if you're a Warrior fan.
It better happen next year, though, because then the Warriors, 3 years from now, I don't think it would matter that much.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I got what you're saying. Hey, if you're a Warrior fan, this is about as good as it gets. And I mean that because, all right, the game's away, so go out, watch the game, and you're playing with house money tonight. You're playing with house money.
Yeah.
You win, you can dance out of the bar. You lose, and you're like, we're still up 2-1, and we're still the Warriors. So, like, these are the fun playoff games when the stakes are actually lowered a little bit. And as a fan, you don't really have to get as nervous as let's say you were for the fourth quarter of Game 5 against Houston.
Yeah, I think tonight and Monday are akin to the 2-for-1. The end of a quarter.
Yes.
Tonight's the free one. Tonight's the free one, Matt.
But sometimes when you take a bad free one, then the next one is actually an awful shot because you don't.
Yeah,
have
you
time.
Might. You. It is. Yeah, exactly. And then is it really free if you take two terrible shots and the other team goes down and scores? That's the conundrum. That's the conundrum, Matt. Jason in Oakland on Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to see and get your guys' opinion about Steph Curry. What if the Warriors were to offer him a contract next season, seeing how Livingston most likely will maybe retire or move on after this season, and Quinn Cook doesn't seem like he's the guy that's been consistently been able to produce off the bench in crucial moments. So I was looking at Steph Curry's contract. He's currently under contract with Portland on a 2-year deal from 2018. He actually has a player option at the end of this season. So what type of, if the Warriors would be interested in him, what do you think would be the offer, or what do you think the Warriors would be willing to spend on him? Thanks for taking my call.
I mean, I'd be shocked if he wants to play in Golden State. Seth
okay,
Curry.
That's well, interesting.
I mean, why would he want to? I mean, he spent his whole life in Steph's shadow. He's finally starting to emerge.
Yeah, and didn't he have an opportunity? I mean, I know he was with the Warriors right. at one point, right? And with the G League team, right?
Right?
Anyway, but he had a chance to maybe try out try to make the team, and then I think he chose to play. Did he choose to go to Sacramento, maybe?
That sounds about right. But, I don't – like, okay, if you're Steph Curry's backup, how many minutes are you going to get? 15? Is that what Livingston's getting?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, well, he wants to play more than 15 minutes a game. I mean, and whether he should be or not, I mean, he definitely does. I mean, I guarantee you he wants to be, at the very least, the third guard, first guard off the bench and play, 25 minutes a game, I would think. Now, maybe he's not good enough. Maybe he's not good enough for that, but I would think he's going to give that a shot before coming to the Warriors.
Yeah, I think he'll have some options. I think he is a rotation player in the league. I mean, I think he is a backup in the league, but I think there are teams out there that would want him. I'll put it that way.
Oh, I think so too. Absolutely.
Yeah, and including Portland trying to keep him. And I actually think the Warriors would be interested, but to your point, I mean, it that would be on him as to whether he would really want to come back and play with Steph again. And like you say, maybe in that shadow. We couple of things here I wanted to wrap up on. Actually, you want to take – well, looks like we got calls keep coming in. Let's do Paul in San Ramon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing?
Going well, man.
Hey, listen, people talk about this KD leaving the Warriors. I've been thinking about it, and if he's going to leave the Warriors, it can't be about basketball. He's clearly in a basketball situation, right? Can't be about management. He's playing for the Patriots right now. Can't be about the business in the area because he's got Valley. Can't be about money because we're the only ones who can offer him a Supermax, so why is he leaving? Legacy, right? Legacy. What's one thing he can do that Kobe and Michael Jordan never did that he can do here?
Four in a row.
Win four. So why isn't anybody talking about that? And open the Chase Center. I think the guy's coming back. I think he wants to win four in a row, maybe come back on another one-year deal. I think he's coming back.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Appreciate it. I can't see him coming back for 1 year, signing another one of those.
Well, I could see him maybe wanting to. I know we got into this last week or a couple weeks ago.
I don't think opening up the Chase Center means anything to him. And I wonder about the four in a row. I really
right.
do. He's all.
Well, Jordan could have tried to win four in a row if he
that's
wanted
true.
To, and he didn't.
That's
he could have tried to do it twice, and he didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's something that doesn't get pointed out. I mean, it's not like Michael Jordan was done in 1998.
But
now it was.
Let's face it, JD. The best thing for Kevin Durant's individual legacy would be for him to go to New York and get a title with the Knicks in the next 3 to 4 years.
No question.
I mean, that, it's like, I get it. Legacy can't, maybe he can go win four in a row. Well, guess what? Four in a row will pale in comparison to three in a row and then one in New York. That is by far will be a greater legacy than being part of a team that won four in a row. I don't even think that's close.
I think you're right about that. And I think that's something that he's going to have to weigh ultimately when he makes his
no
decision
doubt.
In
yep.
July. Do we have one? You want to sneak in one more? We got about a minute left.
Mustang Matt's been waiting the longest.
Mustang Matt gets the last word. We got about 30 seconds for you, Matt.
So here's my question, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So let's say that the Warriors win, and they win without KD. And he doesn't play in the finals. Is there a greater chance that he'll want to come back to earn another title with him on the court? Or is it a greater chance that he won't want to come back because they want it without him?
I think there's a greater chance he won't want to come back. That's the quick take. Steiny, what do you think?
I agree, although we're all guessing. That's how I'll leave it. No doubt.
Steiny, great effort, my man. You'll be back at 4:30 with Guru, and I'll talk to you guys coming up at about 5 o'clock.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, that's going to do it. Want to thank Ryan and Joe for Tim Roy and Tim Bontemps and Brandon Sprague. I'm John Dickinson in Portland. Keep it locked here, 95.7 The Game. Michael Urban is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.